Hello, you're tuned to KBOO Portland. I'm Stephanie Potter, and this is The Recovery Zone, a show that visits with people working to heal our stressed-out world. This month's show is about a method for working on what's inside to change things on the outside, working on ourselves. Last month, I spoke with four people who have done something you'd probably never want to try. But after hearing what they have to say, you might change your mind. All four have done at least 4 or 5 10-day silent meditation courses.
You know, I just think that there's so much negativity out there. There's so much chaos. There's so much, you know, go, 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 go. The ability to have an alternative environment for that is just a gift.
For Christopher Marquardt, the alternative can be found at a meditation center just 90 minutes north of Portland.
This center, the Northwest Vipassana Center, has been around for 20 years, but there's also an Oregon Vipassana Association, and there's a center in British Columbia, and there's a center in Massachusetts, and there's one in Georgia, and Illinois, and Texas.
There are 120 of these centers throughout the world offering 10-day residential meditation courses on a donation-only basis to tens of thousands of people every year.
Prior to registering for a course, I was having some difficulties in a relationship and dealing with intoxicants, and I felt like rudderless or without a map. And going to my first course allowed me to kind of put things in a perspective that I'd just simply never had before.
Christopher found his new perspective through Vipassana meditation as taught by S.N. Goenka.
Vipassana is a science of mind and matter, how the mind is influencing the body, and in return, how body is influencing the mind.
Goenka discovered the technique in Myanmar in 1955. He continued to train with his teacher for 14 years and then introduced the practice to India, from where it has continued to spread.
This technique has continually grown, and the more people interact with it, the more they want to share it with others because they feel this calm, relief, and peace.
The Northwest Vipassana Center was established in 1991.
It's an all-volunteer organization, which is just amazing.
Brianna Winterborn, who has been practicing for 20 years, is one such volunteer.
And people come together and have built the center and given donations so that buildings could be built.
Also known as Dhamma Kunja, or Grove of the Dhamma, the center is situated on 50 acres in rural Washington. It offers 10-day courses every few weeks, and this month just held its first ever executives course. The center also offers courses to prisoners and shorter courses for children and teenagers.
My sister has not sat a course, but she did take 2 of my nephews to a teen course, and I found that one in particular really got it, and he definitely had some anger issues, so my sister was a little bit desperate at the time and looking for anything that would help.
Although Jenna Abernathy, a health worker, says her first course was
the best thing I've ever done, literally in my entire life.
She still wasn't prepared for her nephew's response.
When I talked to him after, he really loved it, actually, which surprised me, I have to say, because I thought he wouldn't. But something in him clicked, and when I talked to him a little while after that, he had even gotten up to meditate on his own, even though no one meditates in that house, which I thought was fascinating. He's 15 now. I think he was 14 at the time. And when I went back to visit, he's been fighting with his brothers and sisters less, and I asked him why, and he said, well, it just doesn't make any sense.
So it's very practical for the kids. It makes sense to them. And they have a fun time because it's mixed with a lot of kids' games and activities, art, and good food.
Eric Sedlacek, who teaches courses to children, explained that they are taught 5 precepts based on not harming. The young people learn how adhering to the precepts helps to establish a calm and stable mind for practicing anapana, awareness of the breath.
The course is primarily giving them the anapana instructions and then helping them to understand the difficulties that bring them suffering in their own lives and how they can use anapana to face that and to not run away from it or suppress it, but to use this technique to be calm and in the present moment and apply that in lots of different situations, like taking tests or playing sports and social interactions that can be so awkward, and they can learn how to see how their own reactivity is causing them suffering, and they can quickly learn when they might be making the wrong choice and they can change it.
And I think it can be an incredible resource for families or even with children with attention deficit disorder or any hyperactivity or any other emotional issues. They teach them a simplified technique. It's certainly not as rigorous, and there's more games and more play, so the rules are very different. But it helps them to focus. It helps them to calm their emotions, and they do better in school. They're happier. There's a movie that someone made. It's called Seeds of Change. I think you can just Google it, and that it shows more of that. But, yeah, it's a really incredible resource that not that many people know about.
The children's courses vary from one day to three. Usually the one-day courses in the city, and the three-day, the residential courses, are at the meditation center in an environment that has a lot of nature to play outside and go into the forest and go on nature walks.
There is no charge for these courses. They are offered through donations.
It's offered because of the donations of past students. There's no charge, so anyone can come.
New students at the 10-day courses are not even allowed to make a donation until after they have completed the 10 days.
Your donation isn't for you. It's for future students. It's a different mindset for us, and I think it took me a while to understand that. But what you're giving is for future students to be able to meditate like you have.
I looked at other meditation centers around the country, and it was like for a 10-day or an 8-day retreat, it was $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, and that was prohibitive for me. So when I looked at the information on the website and I was like, well, how much does it cost? I kept searching and searching and searching. It was really nice to know that I could come and that no one was expecting that I give money.
I really like the concept that they teach you about the finances, that when you go there because someone else has been generous enough to pay for you to be there. And so you don't go with high expectations of what you're going to get, but you go and you receive. You kind of have this experience like a monk just for 10 days in your life, or a nun. And I love that concept, just to for people who are living in the world and don't want to go do that, but want that experience of what is it like to go and really not have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about your food. It's lovely and it's taken care of. You just go there so that you can concentrate on this one thing and someone else's generosity.
And the people preparing the food are all volunteers.
Right.
The people, the maintenance of the
students.
Place. Old students, right.
As soon as you finish your first 10-day course, you're an old student. It doesn't matter how young you are.
And I found that structure of having someone in silence take care of me very healing. That it just, I don't know, times in my life when I haven't felt supported or emotional traumas from my childhood were just seamlessly healed by this support.
For the 10-day adult courses, students are expected to adhere to a strict set of rules and discipline, which includes no talking, separation of men and women, and working very seriously. Some who have been to these courses refer to them as boot camp meditation.
People think, oh, you go to a retreat, you can put your feet up. But when you register, you make a promise that, you know, I'm not going to have a radio, I'm not going to have my phone, I'm not going to have a magazine or books. At first, it seems like, God, what am I going to do? I mean, there's plenty of stuff to, you know, there's plenty of meditation to do, you know. But so it's not a retreat like some retreats in like Taos or Santa Fe. Maybe you've heard of these places where you go and like, you know, get in touch with your inner
saunas.
Yeah, sauna and aura. It's not like that, but it just gives you a break from all those things for you to concentrate on kind of cultivating your mind.
Students practice in silence and make no contact with one another.
When I tell people that I do this, they always go, I couldn't be silent for 10 days. And to me, really, That is just the nicest part, just to not have to communicate. So there's no interruption, so you can really pay attention to what's going on in the inner world. It actually ends up, for most people who go through it, the not talking piece ends up being more of a comfort.
And it was incredibly supportive to be there with other people. It may seem ironic that you're there with a group of people, but you're not talking to them. But it's really supportive. In the silence, you support each other.
Sitting meditation is 10 or so hours a day.
And I think people, when they first hear about this, are like, well, I could never do that. I could never sit down for that long. And I think that most humans aren't accustomed to sitting down for 8, 10, 12, 13 hours a day. But there are structures set up, and like Brianna said, like there's a community there where you look around, or you don't look around, depending if your eyes should be close, where you don't look around and you know that people are going through the same thing. You're not just going there to sit and it's an impossibility that you'll never get through. There's support and structure, and it makes it just a lot comforting to know that in some way that other people are going through difficulties too, and that with patience and time and practice that you can get through that.
The first gong goes off at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then there's a very specific schedule all day. So from 4:30 to 6:30, you could be sitting, but you can get up during that time. And there's a breakfast, and then there's a whole schedule. There's breaks after breakfast, and then there's a whole schedule all day long that goes from gong ringing to gong ringing, where you're either sitting or you can take a break and walk in this beautiful land that they have. And then you go back to sitting.
They've tried this, you know, they know how it works, and you have regular breaks. And there are teachers there, and you talk to them about how to meditate in a smart way and not push yourself too hard.
But each day, each night, you are given very specific instructions on what you're supposed to be doing. So you're not left out there wondering, what should I be doing? What should I be thinking about? Should I be thinking or not thinking? There's no mystery to it. Each day, you know what you're supposed to be doing, and you know why you're supposed to be doing it. It's all very, very clearly explained.
In an effort to provide a more uniform experience in all of the centers, public lectures for the courses are given through audio and video tapes, featuring instruction by founder S.N. Goenka.
It is so simple. You observe your breath. Then you start observing your sensations. You observe what is happening in your mind and how the mind and body are interrelated, and see how you are reacting. Out of ignorance, you are reacting and harming yourself. When you realize that, you stop reacting. You don't harm yourself. Nobody wants to harm oneself. It is simple.
The technique begins with Anapana awareness of your breath, which is very physical and self-observation. And when the mind is fit to start Vipassana, which is around day 4 of the course, you go through that process, which is also self-observation. You start observing the sensations arising and passing within the framework of the body and try not to react. This direct experience of that is at this sensation level, in this very tangible.
And constantly there are sensations throughout the body, pleasant, unpleasant, pleasant, unpleasant. The conscious mind may not take, but the deep unconscious is constantly reacting. It has become the slave of its own habit pattern of craving, aversion. All other impurities of the mind, all other defilements of the mind, are just product of these two, craving, aversion. And whenever one generates craving or aversion, one loses the peace of the mind, the harmony of the mind.
Goenka has stated that the ultimate goal of the practice is purification of the mind. Along the way, students erode their old habits of reacting in an unbalanced way with craving and aversion to pleasant and unpleasant situations.
It starts working at the root level. The root level of the mind is constantly in contact with body sensations. Mind and matter are so interconnected, constantly, and there the habit pattern of craving, aversion is going on. So you have to break that habit pattern, for which you have to go to the depth of the mind.
The process goes very deep, and you see yourself going through a transformation and freeing yourself from deep complexes. So when I saw that taking place during the course, I was really blown away, and it wasn't what I expected. But I was convinced that it was doing something very good for me, and ever since I've devoted some time every year to doing that and see the changes every year.
You're tuned to the Recovery Zone on KBOO Portland. I'm Stephanie Potter. For this month's show, I talked with four practitioners of a meditation technique taught by S.N. Goenka. He learned the technique in Myanmar, and it originated in India from the Buddha. Although Goenka references Buddhist terms, his approach has a wide appeal because it adheres to no religion.
Right. I have sat courses, you know, with Catholic priests, and so anyone can sit this course. It's, you could, yeah, be no religion or any religion. I think we are used to thinking of things as religions, but this is a practice to have a better life for anyone.
It's taught in a non-sectarian format, although it is the teaching that the Buddha taught, and that is presented in the discourses in the evening that gives you the context of what you're learning and why we're practicing in that way.
You don't have to be any religion, you could be any religion, but you don't have to be any religion. It has nothing to do with religion. It's really a specific technique to work with your own reactions in your mind and in your body. For example, everyone has anger, and it doesn't matter what religion they have, people have anger, and it's how do you deal with anger? So it's really very practical for everyday living.
Whatever is happening within the framework of the body is constantly changing. That means the entire physical structure, the entire mental structure, constantly changing. Something which is constantly changing, what is the sense to react with craving towards it, or react with aversion towards it? You understand? With the wisdom of your experience. This is not just an intellectual understanding. Now you're experiencing it. So the habit pattern starts changing from the root level.
Initially, what becomes obvious is your reactivity to things you normally react to starts to get less and less, and some things just completely drop away. Other things take time. But you see it in your own life when you're in situations that you normally would react with anger or anxiety or whatever your conditioning might be, that you're just not doing that, and you just feel like a different person.
My first course was hard in that I wasn't used to the routine of meditating that many hours a day. What I felt like, I looked at how my mind made things worse. It screamed a lot the first course, and I got better. But at the end, I felt like I had a lot more space in my head. And all that screaming was my mind reacting.
I've continued to sit courses and serve courses, and I continue to find it difficult. I mean, I guess the only thing that gets easier is my ability to not react to the difficulties.
You can see people do what they do without taking it so personally.
Sometimes. I mean, it's not like, oh, wow, you take a 10-day sit and you're like some enlightened being. But yeah, it's a lot easier. I mean, like an event that, for example, would have really knocked me out of commission for 10 days now takes 10 minutes. Or, you know, an argument that would have dragged on for, you know, 3 months drags on for 3 days, you know, whatever it is, it's diminished for sure. I mean, I still get angry, I still get upset, I still get all these things, but the amount of time that they take a hold on me is incredibly diminished, and my happiness has grown too.
You're not dwelling on it so much anymore.
Yeah.
Vipassana meditation is about strengthening your mind's ability to observe and weakening that reaction so that you can go through life without always reacting and making things worse for yourself.
When you generate negative emotion, you are the first victim of your negativity. You become so miserable, and you make others miserable. Instead of that, if you start generating positive emotion, you feel so much of peace and harmony. And you generate peace and harmony for others also. So you make others also happy. You are happy, others are happy. So this is a way of life, a good way of life, healthy way of life. Instead of making oneself miserable and making others miserable, now you start making yourself happy and make others happy.
I feel like every time I come back from a course, I know my relationship gets better, my personal partner relationship. And then I also know that all my relationships within my family and friends.
I think I see people as more like being like me. I think it's made me more compassionate for other people. Definitely, I think it's led me to a calmer life of not wanting so many things. And then definitely have healed, especially relationships with my family.
And the others around you who are used to you reacting in a certain way, they see that you're different. And that just breaks down the pattern even more. And so that's what happened to me in my first course. I saw my relations with my mother change drastically. And over the next several years, she appreciated that and was inspired, and she ended up taking two courses eventually.
10-day courses are also being taught in prisons, most especially in India. Extensive studies there show less violent activity on the part of those prisoners who have participated.
I was in New Mexico before my first course, and someone recommended that I see this movie that was playing at a community theater, and it was Doing Time, Doing Vipassana, and it was about the teacher, S.N. Goenka, taking this technique into one of India's roughest prisons. And I was just fascinated by the fact that there might be a way to kind of change people that society has rejected. And there's also another movie that came out recently filmed in prisons in the United States.
The film Dhamma Brothers documents Vipassana instruction in an Alabama prison.
It's a documentary, so it takes you outside the prison first and has you interacting with people who are like, well, I don't think this is going to work, you know. And it's in a part of the country where people don't think, you know, Huntsville, Alabama is a hotbed of trying new techniques. But they're willing to take this technique that takes really dangerous, violent criminals and introduces them to something with the hope that they'll find some relief and become less violent.
I think the movie itself is incredibly powerful to see people who are in for life imprisonment and have done really, you know, heinous crimes, and they're having to sit with them, and that they can do this 10-day course and get so much. You can see it in the movie. You can feel it. It's palpable that their faces change. Their eyes are softer.
Sanghagi nirvan indat dharmandat buddhidat shijabharjagi.
Ultimately, self-observation, non-reactivity, and meditation might be applicable to healing our world.
Well, I think the more people practicing Vipassana or other techniques where you observe your mind, that there's more peace in the world. There's more harmony in the world. And it isn't that this technique makes you passive at all. You're out in the world doing things in whatever suits your personality, in whatever way. But we all have ripple effects in our lives through our personal relationships and what we work on in the world.
If you think of an ocean liner and it's heading towards Hawaii, and if you just change 1 degree, in a very short time, it's going to end up in Alaska or somewhere completely different. So these tiny little changes that we make, the outside world is us. We're creating it. So it has to come from inside each individual person making choices. And when we can observe ourselves and not just be slaves to our reactions, then we can make choices that have more wisdom in them.
Over time, this changes us and in turn changes the world. It also touches on consumerism. Part of what you're watching, you know, in your mind are these what you want and what you don't want. And these cravings can lead you to wanting more and more material things. And there's never an end to it, right? We all know that. So I think it at least gives you a mechanism to watch that and see how much energy do you want to give to that.
Once they've completed a course, students are encouraged to overcome the obstacle of finding time to practice for an hour, twice a day. But for many of us, the biggest obstacle would be setting aside 10 days for that first course.
And that's the difficult part for everyone, because we're so attached to not only our routines and our securities, our comforts that we have in the world, but also, of course, people have bills to pay and families and jobs.
It's really a big gift to take care of yourself by taking that 10 days off. It might seem selfish. I hear that from people. I could never do that, or I couldn't leave my kids. But if you find a way to do that, it is truly the biggest gift we can give to anyone, is to take care of ourselves.
The 10-day courses for adults are offered frequently throughout the year.
10-day courses are offered every other week, starting every other Wednesday.
At the end of this month, there's a children's course coming up.
If you think you know someone, a child, who might be interested in taking a children's course now, there's one offered on September 30th through October 2nd, and it should be a lot of fun.
And the Northwest Vipassana Center is near Onalaska, Washington, just south of Olympia.
The center is just under 90 minutes from Portland.
And if people wanted to find out more, where would they go?
Yeah, you can go to the website, dhamma.org, and then you can look around there and then eventually go to a link that says North American Centers, and then you can find the Northwest Vipassana Center. But if you look around that website, you can kind of see what the greater organization is.
This has been the Recovery Zone on KBOO Portland. Special thanks to my guests for this show, Eric Sedlacek, Brianna Winterborn, Jenna Abernathy, and Christopher Marquardt. I've also used quotes from S.N. Goenka to produce this show. If you'd like to find out more about the Northwest Vipassana Center, you can link to it through dhamma.org, dhamma.org. You might also like to look at their bookstore, Pariyatti. That's at pariyatti.org, pariyatti.org. I'm Stephanie Potter. Thanks for listening.